So transformation means taking your meditation practice into your daily life so that it's not just those 10, 15, 20 minutes that you do on the cushion, right? Your daily life should be an expression of your meditation practice, and your meditation practice should be a continuation of your daily life. So what that means is every time you sit to meditate, you are training different skills. You're training the ability to let go and just be aware. You're training the ability to focus. You're training the ability to zoom out and observe thoughts as they are. Yeah, you're training the ability of bringing your mind back, and that's like willpower. So there are many different inner skills that you're training every time you meditate. Now, the question is, when you are in your day-to-day life dealing with a particular challenge, are you going to apply those skills? Right. If not, then your meditation practice can easily become a silo. You know, it's that thing that you do at that moment of your day and it feels good. But if you build that bridge, then it's more actively transforming your life.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. Today's guest is an author, meditation teacher, self-discipline coach, and speaker. He also has one of the top five meditation blogs on the planet. It's called Live and Dare. Giovanni Dinsman will help you be the person you want to be. He says the three components to practicing meditation daily are habit, technique, and transformation. His meditation approach is different than other popular ones, as he focuses more on empowerment rather than surrender and stillness. His new book is called Wise Confidence: Overcome Self-Doubt and Build Lasting Self-Esteem. He goes over the five elements to wise confidence, which are determination, integrity, self-belief, courage, and optimism. All right, everybody, please welcome my new friend, Giovanni, to the podcast. Thank you for being here, buddy.
Thank you, Justin.
Yes. I want to jump right into things because, so Giovanni, he's an author, meditation teacher, he's a coach and a speaker, and I know you've done a lot in meditation. You have an insanely popular meditation blog called Live and Dare. And, you know, anytime we get someone on the podcast that just has your experience and your expertise, I want to dive deep into that because I know meditation is a word that we hear a lot of. A lot of people meditate. A lot of people don't know how to meditate. So just kind of giving your perspective on it, because I know, and I've seen some of your videos where you kind of talked about before that you have a different approach to meditation than maybe some other approaches or other popular ones that we may see. Before we jump into that, if you can just let anyone listening right now know, what are some of the basics of meditation? Like, what are some of the initial things that you're teaching people and helping people with that can help them meditate?
Right. So meditation is an exercise for your mind. Just like we need to do exercise for our body to keep ourselves fit, healthy, happy, we need to exercise our mind. And meditation is a big universe out there. There are many different styles of meditation, just like there are many different sports. You know, maybe going to the gym, swimming and running is not for you. Maybe you like martial arts or basketball or tennis. So it's the same thing with meditation. Even though all the styles of meditation have some common benefits, just like every form of physical activity has some common benefits, but each style of meditation is unique, has some unique benefits, has its own flavor, and its own results. So it's important that people spend some time going through a few different styles of meditation until they find the one that works for them.
It's usually kind of just like, all right, jump into it and figure it out and start meditating and just, you know, get there on your own. But I like that, looking at just different approaches, different techniques that may fit with you. Because like you just said, I may like doing yoga. Someone may like running. I may like lifting weights. Someone else may like swimming. So I like that, just kind of finding that approach that fits best with you. What would you say to someone that would just says that they can't meditate? Do you believe that there's always room and space for someone to meditate? Or do you think that there are some people that just, it doesn't align or reside with them and they just shouldn't meditate?
I don't think that there's anyone that I would say you shouldn't meditate. There are cases where, in some cases, meditation can make certain things worse. Like if you have some traumas and whenever you close your eyes, you know, you get re-triggered, then maybe meditation is not the best thing for you. Maybe you need to do some breathing practices first, right? But there are forms of breathing meditation where you are making your breath really calm, deep, and even, and that regulates your nervous system. And that, in a way, is a form of meditation as well. So typically, I wouldn't say that no, meditation is not for you. Just like with any other activity, some people will have a special talent or aptitude for it. And so they may get to certain states or a certain calmness of mind more quickly than others. But if you think of meditation as the process rather than the result, then, you know, everyone listening here, you can find a practice that works for you.
Do you feel like, I say that's a good point too. Do you feel like most people, they're more looking at the result than the actual process in meditation? Like they're like, hey, I want to get here. That's why I'm doing it, instead of just enjoying the moment and enjoying that process.
Yes, I think that's common in everything, not just meditation. Many of my coaching clients, they struggle to achieve certain goals and they are very fixed on the goal itself, but they hate the process. They don't like the process. And so it's hard to remain motivated and to be wholeheartedly present doing something that you don't like, that you're just doing for the sake of what's going to bring you. And so, yes, that's a general aspect of the work that I do and what I teach, that to learn how to be in the process, how to enjoy the path itself. Because the end result is going to happen at the end, but the path is going to be much longer than the end result. So you don't want to suffer 99 days to enjoy that end result on the 100th day, right? Typically, you want to get a path that you can enjoy or that you can learn to enjoy at the very least.
Yes. I mean, I'll catch myself in that mode sometimes too, in just life, where the everyday like grind or the everyday I'm finding like frustrating, which is fine, but I'm more looking for that end goal or the end result and like wishing and thinking about that. When it's really so true, and that was such a great analogy, it's like you want to suffer in the 99 to enjoy the one. That will definitely help me. Like thinking about that, do I want to suffer all these 99 and only enjoy the one? Or do I want to be in the moment and enjoy the process and like find joy in what I'm experiencing right now, knowing that it may or may not lead me to this thing, but if I can just enjoy the here and the now, I'm like a little bit less worried about that thing. I'm less worried if I achieve that. And it's interesting kind of too, in different books that I've listened to that kind of talk about higher evolved species or higher evolved beings, it talks a lot about that they're in the moment, they're in the process. They're not doing anything for an end result. They're just doing it to do it in the moment. And I think that's an important thing that would be great if we all took in more and just enjoyed the here and the now, not have it predicated on if I eventually do or do not achieve this certain thing.
Right. It's a balance because, you know, a lot of good works in personal development, they have this message of start with the end in mind, right? Kind of be purposeful about what you're doing. And so there's a balance here. We start on a certain journey because we are attracted to that journey. We're attracted to what it can give us. So there is a goal. There is a north, like we're going towards that north. But once we are in the process, then we just focus on the process.
And Giovanni, how, yourself personally, how did you start to get into meditation? What has your journey been like through this, your own expansion of meditation, right? Because there was one point in your life where you had never meditated before. And now mm-hmm. you're a coach, you're a teacher, you're a guide. You have this amazing blog about meditation. So what was that journey like for you?
I started, my first experiment was with meditation was when I was 14. I was interested in all things, philosophy, metaphysics, spirituality, world of the esoteric. And I was reading a lot about this, and many books were recommending exercises that were meditation exercises. So that's how I started. I remember the first time that I meditated, it was a laying down yoga nidra type of meditation when you're doing a body scan and relaxing the different parts of the body. And I remember that I went to a state that was like, there was so much stillness in that state. And I had never been into anything like that before. I felt that was really special. So that's how I started in the beginning for maybe a year and a half. I was dabbling with meditation, practicing here and there, until one day I went through a workshop and I was guided into a beautiful meditation state in that moment. I was 16 years old and I thought, okay, that's it. I'm going to practice meditation every day for the rest of my life.
When, how long ago so I was, get?
Yeah, that was 21st of March, 2000.
That's when of, okay, of two, okay, okay. Yes, of 2000. Yes. Yeah. So, wow. So you've been now on this path.
24 years daily.
What practice. Daily? So let me, so you are, I mean, you're such an expert. You've been doing it for so long. Someone who's barely practiced or never practiced at all, what is a good way for them to start? What do you feel like is a good initial meditation practice to help somebody ease into it? And I ask this because so many people, they go into meditation and it doesn't work. They don't like it. They can't sit still with their thoughts, all these different things. So what, I guess, what is a way that you can right now help somebody who has tried, who hasn't done well in their own mind? I'm not saying that they actually didn't do well, but for themselves, they didn't think they did well. What is a good way for someone to start getting into meditation so it is something that hopefully sticks and is something hopefully that they do daily?
So I talk about the three pillars of meditation: habits, technique, and transformation. The most important thing in the beginning is just building the habit, just doing meditation every day, no matter what, even if it's just 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. Because if you don't build a habit, you've got nothing. Right? If you build the habit, there's a chance that you can improve the practice. If you don't build the habit, you're never going to improve the practice. So that is the first tip. And for building the habit, start really small. Use all of the techniques of habit building, you know, like you choose a specific time of the day. You can use an anchor habit. Let's say I'm going to practice meditation every morning after I brush my teeth, or you know, after I take a shower. You get something that you do every day as an anchor habit, and you attach meditation to it so that you have a reminder, something that happens every day. And then you practice for 5 minutes and increase 1 minute per week. Increase 1 minute per week until you get to your desired length. And that might be 10 minutes, it might be 20, it might be half an hour. It depends on your goals and available time. And avoid judging your practice. You know, just in the beginning, just go through the motions until you build a habit. And then you focus on improving the mechanics, going deeper, getting better at it. In terms of technique, perhaps counting one's breaths or just paying attention to the movement of the breath is what I would recommend universally. Like if I'm not meeting the person, if I'm just speaking like this in a podcast, I'll say that that's probably a good way to start for most people. Now, if I'm talking with someone and I know why do they want to meditate, what do they expect to get from the practice, what's the purpose that it's going to have in their life, what phase of life they are in, you know, then I'm going to suggest something more specific. A person who wants meditation for spiritual enlightenment is going to get a different practice from someone who wants a meditation for you know, better focus and productivity. And it's going to be a different practice from someone who wants a meditation for healing trauma or for becoming more calm and less anxious. You know, different goals and different personalities will lead to different practices, will require different practices.
All right, beautiful. I want to make sure I didn't miss it. You said one was habit, two was technique. What's the third?
Transformation. Yes, I didn't talk about that one. So transformation means taking your meditation practice into your daily life so that it's not just those 10, 15, 20 minutes that you do on the cushion, right? Your daily life should be an expression of your meditation practice, and your meditation practice should be a continuation of your daily life. So what that means is every time you sit to meditate, you are training different skills. You're training the ability to let go and just be aware. You're training the ability to focus. You're training the ability to zoom out and observe thoughts as they are. Yeah, you're training the ability of bringing your mind back, and that's like willpower. So there are many different inner skills that you're training every time you meditate. Now, the question is, when you are in your day-to-day life dealing with a particular challenge, are you going to apply those skills? Right? If not, then your meditation practice can easily become a silo. You know, it's that thing that you do at that moment of your day and it feels good. But if you build that bridge, then it's more actively transforming your life.
Yes. The reason why I was like shaking my head and like smiling through that is because I felt like that was me in the beginning. I would have these, and I started with a guided meditation. I did that for like a year. It was like 15 minutes. And then I would just meditate on my own for maybe like 30, 40 minutes. And I would have these, you know, really beautiful, peaceful moments, but I wasn't always taking that into my everyday. And I would notice as time went on that it's like, okay, I'm meditating, but then like, what am I doing here? Or I would meditate in terms of manifesting, but I would leave those higher elevated emotions once I would leave the meditation. You know what I mean? I would visualize and feel myself in these ways and how I would feel if I, you know, had reached this goal or reached a certain goal that I had in mind. But then I would leave and I would still act as me now. I wouldn't act as a higher version of myself, of the person that I am becoming, right? I would just kind of step back into Justin in the present, who I am now, and not really carry those meditation practices with me throughout the day. One of the most, probably at least for me personally, the most profound part that came from meditation. So I started meditating in the beginning to just focus on my mind, to feel good feelings of gratitude, to manifest and things like that. And then after, I don't know, months or maybe a year, whatever it was, I started to, and it really kind of blew my mind at first, I started to really acknowledge and realize my thoughts. Instead of my subconscious mind just doing everything for me, I started to take that step back and become the observer of those subconscious thoughts, which when I started meditation, Giovanni, I didn't know that that was a part of it. I didn't know that that was something that could come from it. So when I started to realize that, and I was like, wow, these thoughts actually aren't mine. I'm able to really look at them and observe them and then choose if that's the thought that I actually want to step forward in, and realizing that it's actually my choice. It's not just, you know, the thought that's given to me, I'm on autopilot. It's not that. I realized that I actually do have the ability to choose these thoughts and move in the direction that I want to move into. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That's one of the things that come with meditation, that eventually a person realizes that I'm not my thoughts. My thoughts come and go and I'm here. I'm here before that thought came. I'm here while it's here. I'm here after it's gone. So I am permanent. Consciousness is permanent. The thoughts come and go. And when you realize that, then as you said, you see that you have a choice, that I can believe this thought. I can let it define my experience in the present moment and live through those lenses. Or I can just observe it as a thought and leave it at that.
Because right before that realization, you don't know that you have a choice in your thoughts. You think that first thought that you have is what it is. There's nothing else. There's no way to perceive it. It's like, it's the situation that's making me think this way. It's not me. Of course, I'm supposed to react in this way towards this situation. That's how I've always done. That's how I've seen people react in the media. That's how I've seen people react on TV. So of course, this is how I'm supposed to behave and act. There's literally no other choice. And once you realize you have a choice, that in every single moment, you're brand new, you can step forward in any direction that you want, and you have the ability to choose that next thought. That was so powerful. When that first started happening to me, I was like, holy, I cannot believe this is actually a part of this practice. And it's such an important part, I think, because before that, you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know. So how can you get out of something and choose differently if you don't even know that you have a different choice that you can choose? And then, so I do want to ask you, so I know, you know, in terms of your meditation teaching and practice, that you view meditation more as empowerment. Is that correct and right? And how, so first off, I would love for you to talk more about really what that means to you, you know, meditation being more about empowerment, and how that does tie into how your meditation approach is different than the normal or typical ones that we may see.
Okay. Most meditation teachers emphasize calmness, letting go, acceptance, compassion, being in the moment. And all of these is good. These are virtues. These are wonderful things. But this is one side of the story. And if you look at the meditation masters, you know, the ones that have developed the techniques, the great yogis and masters and monks of the past, the meditation was developed for a specific purpose of either empowering ourselves to break through our conditioning, to elevate our vibration, our consciousness beyond this world, or to have like specific experiences, access different states of mind and consciousness. So from the point of view of us practicing meditation in the 20th century, like, yes, there's going to be people who are practicing it for that particular spiritual goal. But the way that meditation is being taught in the West, more as a tool of healing, of personal development, of self-help, of health and wellness in general, there's this idea that, you know, people who meditate, they would be very mellow and they're just calm and accept everything. And I don't think that's very desirable even. I think that we ought to grow into complete human beings that, you know, sometimes compassion is the right response in the moment, but sometimes it's not. Right? I say in my book that in life, you get more of what you tolerate. So if tolerance is what you practice in all circumstances, then you're going to have more of that. If you tolerate people treating you poorly, you're going to have more people treating you poorly. If you tolerate that you don't have enough financial resources, then you're not going to have the motivation to get those financial resources. If you tolerate that your body is all the time getting sick, then your body will keep on getting sick because you can live with that. You can accept that. You're not going to have that fire to make a change. And so meditation has this side to it that it can allow us to be laser focused on something, that it can give us the power to create, because it focuses all the energies of the mind in a single spot, right? And that's what it allows us to create. So I say playfully, we have to be creators, not creatures. We have the ability to create, to manifest within us. And that's the power of the mind, of our consciousness. But when that is distracted and dissipated in 1,000 different thoughts and desires, it's not effective.
Do you think, as a part of like of the other side of, you know, people who meditate so that they can surrender or be calm in moments and allow things just to pass through them, do you feel like that's also a form of empowerment, or do you look at those as kind of separate or different? I don't really want to say separate, but as different right. ideologies of meditation.
I think of empowerment as something that expands us, something that enables us to be who we want to be and to experience and achieve what we want to achieve, experience what we want to experience. It's about having freedom. It's about making a choice. So if there is someone, you know, offending me or wanting to bully me or wanting to press my buttons, I have the choice because of my meditation training. I have the choice to step back and feel nothing and not react and be in equanimity. I have that choice and I may choose to do that. But at times, my discernment may say something different in that moment. Like, yes, I could do that, but actually I want to fight back. I want to teach them a lesson. I want to put them in place. I want to set boundaries. And that doesn't come out of anger. It doesn't come out of ego. It comes out of the discernment to see what is right in the moment based on my values. And every person is going to have different values. But meditation allows me to do both things. And I feel that most people, when they practice meditation and some of the philosophies attached to meditation, they're only able to do, to, to do this first one, you know, of kind of letting go and accepting and hoping that things are going to get better. While I think that no, meditation gives us the power to show up in the world as we want to show up.
Do you think meditation gives us the ability in those moments, instead of just surrendering and allowing what to be, whether it's discernment or aggravation or whatever it may be, do you think meditation can also be used to now create a better situation instead of just allowing what to be, but to use meditation to create something new?
Yes, absolutely. And again, that's about being a creator, not just following. It's good to have the ability to follow the flow of the moment, but who set that flow? I want to also have the ability to set my own flow and follow that. You know, because people who do all sorts of wrong things that are going to cause them trouble, they're also following the flow. Right? People who come to me, they want to break certain bad habits, be it of eating too much sugar or smoking or spending too much time on their phone or whatever it is. When they're engaging in that habit that they want to break, they're flowing with the moment. In that moment, they feel like doing that. So they're doing that, but that's not empowering. It's almost like you have no choice.
I can see that in a sense where, yes, if you're just allowing you are removing that choice in a sense for you to create something new. You're just allowing to be what to be. This is interesting. I need to like meditate on this and like be with this for some time, because that is something that I've thought about a lot with meditation, that it gives you the ability to be at peace in the chaos, not necessarily needing to change the chaos, but just no matter what life throws at you, you have that ability to just kind of sit there in the storm and be still.
Yes. And that's one of the powers of meditation. Like you are able to do that. But the question is, if you want to make a change, if you want to set a different course of events and flow in that moment and in your life, do you have the strength to do it?
Yes. Gotcha. And do you feel like meditation can be used for like emotional, it's like regulate our emotions? So like in an instance where someone may be rude or mean, instead of just surrendering and allowing that person to maybe do that or just kind of going with the flow and not letting it bother you, do you feel like meditation can have the effect on you where you're able, again, to regulate those emotions where you can respond through empowerment? You know what I mean? If someone's being rude to you, not screaming back at them, so not screaming at them, not allowing it, but maybe using meditation to regulate yourself so that you can respond in an effective way, in a way that can actually create some positive change. You know what I mean? That's a more positive reaction than a negative one, thinking about like just screaming back at them.
Yes. So, you know, think of the loving kindness meditation, for example, of the Buddhist tradition. In that meditation, you are creating the feeling of loving kindness inside of you without any external trigger. Right. So in a way, you're being the master of yourself. You're saying like, I don't need something to happen outside of me for me to feel this feeling. I can create this feeling whenever I want, inside my own mind. And it feels as real and even stronger than when it's triggered from the outside. And we can do that not only with the feeling of loving kindness, we can do that with any mental or emotional state that we need. And so if we need a particular state to respond well to the situation in the moment, the skills that we train through meditations like this allow us to create that state. In the book, Wise Confidence, I teach them how to use this to create the state of confidence, of courage, of determination, right? And then the only question is about the wisdom. Your wisdom in the moment will tell you, like, what do I need? How do I want to respond? What type of, how do I want to show up in a way that is more aligned with my values and goals? And if it is to just step back and be the Buddha, the monk, and just allow everything and not be moved, then that's what you do. But if it is to respond and bring justice to a situation or create some boundaries or whatever it is, then you're also able to do that without that stain in your soul. You know, it's a role. You put on that hat, you play that role, and then you're finished.
This is like kind of perfect for me right now, I'll say, in terms of meditation, because that's one of the things, the good things I got from meditation. Well, I don't say I got, but one of the beautiful things that came from meditation practice for me was I used to react. I used to have a crazy temper. I didn't take a moment to stop and think. I just reacted hard. And then so meditation gave me the ability to take that step back and again and observe so then I could choose. I feel like in the process right now in my own journey of now having the ability to observe those things, but most of the time, just observe them. Like observe my thoughts, not respond negatively, but maybe not respond in the most, okay, in the most constructive, positive way. Do you know what I mean? Like where I'm able to see it and kind of be there and not allow it to impact me in a bad way, but I'm still now working through the process of, okay, observing, looking at it. All right, this person's acting this way towards me. All right, I see my first thought towards them. I don't really want to express that towards them. That's not who I feel like I truly am, you know, lashing back out at them or screaming at them. So like I can realize that I don't want to do that. And then maybe I'll just respond like very quickly. It's like, all right, I'll see you later, or move away, or okay, maybe this isn't a good time, and do something. I'm working on becoming in the place where I can be more of a creator, where I can change that situation to something that is more positive, more constructive, because it's just my process of where I'm at right now. You know, it took me a long time just to even stop reacting. Like that took me years and years and years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Taming our own nature is one of the hardest things we'll do in life.
Yeah.
It's a process. It required patience and perseverance, right? If you had stopped and said like, it's not going to happen, then you would have stayed as you were.
And that's like the thing. And I know I'm not like, I'm never like mad at myself. I'm never like, man, you could have really turned that into a much better situation. Like I'm happy, like where I'm at in the terms of, again, that I'm not just reacting, that I'm able to take that step back. And little bit by little bit, Giovanni, I am able to come through with more of a constructive path that we can take this conversation, or I'm little bit by little bit able to come through with more love. So instead of just being like silent and walking away, as opposed to screaming at them, like there's like that step. You either scream at them, you're silent, or you can respond in a beautiful, positive sort of a way. And I am still in that middle portion of just kind of not responding, which for me is good, because I'd rather not respond than say something that I'm going to regret later, or say something that doesn't align with who I truly am, and say something that is mean back to them. Like then that's not how how I personally want to show up in the world. So it is just these slow shifts over, slowly and surely, of me then being able to take that time, really be quiet, because that's what it is. There's still like a little bit of noise in my mind, right? That's kind of why in those moments I'm not able to collect my thoughts within those 2 seconds and maybe again respond in that more constructive way. There's still a little bit more, too much chaos in my mind and too much emotion. I don't say too much, maybe not too much emotion, but there is emotion and things happening in my body that if I feel like if I just hop into that, I'm going to respond in a way that I don't want to respond. So for me, it's being mindful of those emotions as they come up, acknowledging them, and then figuring out how to respond in the way that of the truth of who I am, which again is just more positive, more loving, more constructive, you know, maybe in a way that can help this person, or just be empathetic towards this person, or forgiving of this person in a sense where I'm just more loving towards this person. Yes. That's like the grandest idea. I'm just more loving towards this person, more towards myself, more towards the whole situation, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
It has been challenging. Anyone out there listening right now, like you're not alone in this, you know what I mean? And if you're still at the place where you are still reacting, like it's all good. I was there also, you know what I mean? Like there were times where I would react and then after I'd be like, all right, man, yeah, you know, we're... At least you're aware. I think that is the first part of everything, is the awareness. So even in the fact that you are aware, right, that you want to change this thing and I don't want to be reactive, that just sets you on that path to eventually hit that place. Yeah.
Yes. Awareness is it's the mother of all virtues. It's the essential ingredient for any change. So, you know, we are creatures of habits. We all have our habits, and a reaction is a habit that when this happens, I have this knee-jerk reaction. And sometimes it's helpful, like it is the reaction that I would like to have. And that means that I automatically act in a way that is aligned, in a way that is how I want. So that's great. Leave that alone. But at times it's not. And then using our awareness and our intention, in my work, I say awareness and willpower. These are the two kind of wings of this bird, that you become aware that, oh, you know, in these moments, I react with anger. And in the beginning, your awareness is not going to be very fast. It's going to be slow. And by that, I mean, like, you react with anger and half an hour later, or maybe at night, you realize like, oh, I reacted with anger. And then you make a strong intention, and that's where willpower comes in, that next time I don't want to react with anger. I want to be aware in the moment. And then maybe, you know, little by little, after 1 month, you become angry and you realize like 3 minutes later. So your awareness is getting faster. It's getting more present. And after some training, it gets to the point that you are aware as it's happening. And when you are aware as it's happening, then you have a choice. Then you have freedom to begin using all the techniques that they teach. Because all of the techniques in all these amazing books out there, right? They all require that you have some awareness. In the moment, if you are an autopilot, if you are without awareness, you're not going to be able to apply any technique. But if you are aware that I am angry, the moment that there is anger, then you can use this mantra, or you can do some deep breathing, or you can shift the way you're thinking about that person in front of you, all because there is awareness. So awareness is indeed the foundation.
I just want to reiterate really quickly what Giovanni said, because that's so important. It's like, maybe when you first start, you're angry at a situation. At night, you kind of realize, okay, I was angry at that situation. And then in a month or two or 6 months, it may take you 2 hours later that you realize. And then an hour later, and then 30 minutes, like Giovanni was saying. I just want to point that out again for anyone who's experiencing that right now. Like, love yourself and be proud of yourself, of where you're at. Because if you're somebody who maybe you realized 2 days later, but now it's a day, don't limit your self-love for yourself in those moments because you think you're not where you're supposed to be. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about before, enjoying the journey and the process, not being mad at ourselves because we're not where we think we're supposed to be at this time. Because that takes away from where we're at and where we came from and who we are now. So just give yourself some ease, give yourself some love. If you are trending in the direction you want to trend, but you're not exactly where you want to be quite yet, just like, love yourself. And Giovanni, I know we've talked about the book a little bit, you've mentioned it, but I want to definitely get into this too, right? The new book is called Wise Confidence, Overcome Self-Doubt and Building Lasting Self-Esteem. What is one of them, like, the, you know, for people listening to this who have not read the book yet or listened to the book, what are some of like the 1, 2, 3 main points of this book that you're hoping really resonates and comes through the book into people?
So the first thing is the concept of wise confidence itself. You know, if you think of confidence as a spectrum, and in one extreme, you have self-doubt, which is the complete absence of self-confidence. You are defeating yourself before you even begin. When you're going with self-doubt, and you can call it imposter syndrome, it's also related to fear of failure. When you have self-doubt, you don't try things that are important for you because you're afraid it's not gonna, you don't believe in yourself. You're afraid you're going to fail. Or if you try, you know, it's just going through the motions. It's just formally because you're not really energized, right? You don't have that conviction that, yes, I want this and this is going to work and I'll make it work. Now, that doesn't exist in the state of self-doubt. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, we have overconfidence or arrogance. In that state, you are full of conviction. You also are focused, you are motivated, you are energized, but you are deluded. You are deluded about how easy the process is going to be. You're not underestimating yourself, as in self-doubt, but you are underestimating the path ahead. And as a result, you don't show up with all that you've got because you think you just need a little bit of effort to win, to make things happen. And so both of these extremes are not really helpful. They're both limiting in different ways. What I talk about wise confidence is that balanced middle. You're not underestimating yourself and you're not underestimating the path. You're actually not thinking about yourself very much. You don't think that I suck and you don't think that I'm great. You're just focused on showing up as your best self, on showing up with determination, integrity, self-belief, courage, and optimism. And these are the 5 elements of wise confidence. And you show up like that to the best of your abilities. You see what happens, you get up again, and you continue on the path. So wise confidence is what allows us to be confident in a way that is more mindful, more spiritual, more balanced. So that's one of the key ideas that I love people to get out of the book.
See, can you say it one more time? What were the five elements?
Determination, integrity, self-belief, courage, and optimism.
Giovanni, why do you feel like this book is important for people to understand? Like, why did you feel so passionate about this to take the time to write a book about it?
Confidence is a form of empowerment. It makes we act and live very differently when we have the conviction that we can achieve what we desire, what we aspire to. We move differently in life. Confidence is shown to improve all aspects of our life, relationships, career, chance of success in careers, pursuing any particular goal, makes us more resilient, increases our willpower and focus. There are just so many benefits to confidence. And yet I realize that many people, they know that they need confidence, but they are not attracted to the model of confidence that is very popular out there. You know, that kind of like a more yelling and militaristic and a kind of mental toughness. And it's there's a lot of, some people call it toxic masculinity. I don't know if I like that term, but, you know, it points out to that phenomenon where there is, it's not balanced. You know, there's, yes, I want to be more confident, but not that type of confidence. So I wanted to create a map for people, create a model of confidence that people who are more spiritual or mindful or conscious by nature, that they can look at that model and they can say a wholehearted yes to. Mm.
And I wanted to go back a little bit. I wanted to make sure we touched on the book, but you mentioned before the meditation of love and kindness. Mm-hmm. What is that meditation exactly? I feel like I've heard of it before, but I can't think of exactly what it is. And for anyone else listening right now, what is that meditation like?
Okay. So in that meditation, you will kindle the emotion or the feeling of loving kindness. And you do that by one of two means. Either you remember a time in your life where you felt unconditional love from someone, or if that hasn't happened and is the case for many people, you would imagine how that feels like. So either using your memory or imagination, you trigger that feeling in your body mind. That's the first part of the meditation. In the second part, you will then nurture that feeling, pay attention to that feeling, hold that feeling in consciousness moment after moment. The feeling itself becomes the object of your meditation, of your concentration. And as you're doing this, that feeling is becoming more and more solid, more present, more alive. And then in some cases, there's a third part of the meditation where you will project that feeling onto other people. It could be someone you like, it could be someone you neither like or dislike, or it could be someone that you actually dislike. And so that's part of the Buddhist training. You can also just project that onto yourself for healing, for, you know, feeling good. So that's that meditation.
Yeah, awesome. I think there's a lot of power in that, in imagining somebody that you don't like or has not treated you in the kindest way. Because as you're saying that, I've done that meditation before where it's, I think it's like the same, or very similar, where it's like this beam of light in me and it expands, it's love and kindness, it fills my body, and then it expands to the person next to me and the person next to me and then further and further and further, and then essentially encompasses the entire planet. And when I've participated in this before, that's where I was guided to have love and kindness for people who I hadn't had that before, or people who were difficult in my life or challenging or rude or disrespectful or whatever negative word you want to give that person that kind of rubbed you the wrong way. And I'm telling you, there's a beautiful feeling there, because mm-hmm. when you're able to feel it fully in yourself, it's easier to give it out. When you're full of it, it does. It just makes that process easier to filter and flow out to other people. When I've had that experience where I'm imagining it flowing out, the beam of light, this kind of circular light hitting another person and another and another. And then when I've imagined those people that, you know, I didn't always wish the most love and kindness for them, when that beam of light, when I actually saw the light kind of go over their entire body and I felt that love I then have for everyone else to also have for them, it created a lot of peace and healing for me. It's like, because that dislike, or at some times before, hatred towards other people, I was the one feeling that pain. They weren't really. It was just living and sitting in me. So that meditation really helped me heal that in myself and help me release those feelings that, again, were the feelings of hatred and anger or negativity that only I felt. So I think it's powerful, because in the meditation, like when we're giving it to other people, we're all one. What you give to another is what you give to yourself. So as I was giving that love and kindness to that person, that's exactly what I felt and exactly what came back to me. So I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that's the meditation that you meant, but I just wanted to make sure people were very aware of that, because it is a very powerful meditation. Mm-hmm. And Giovanni, so I want to ask you the question I ask every guest that comes on the podcast. So, right, the Spread Love movement, I feel like just me right now in this moment of life, I get most filled up. I feel most fulfilled. I feel my absolute best when I'm helping shift the consciousness of the planet to one that's more kind, more loving, peaceful, empathetic, forgiving, a consciousness that is one. And so what I ask every guest is how do you feel like every day or weekly, through your actions, through your words, your thoughts, whatever it may be, how do you feel like you are contributing to this sort of a shift of consciousness towards our oneness?
Well, my work in this space, it's meant to help people elevate themselves beyond their negative thoughts and emotions, to get in touch with their essence, to grow in awareness. And as you do that, your way to act in the world and to be with other people change. Right? So that's a natural byproduct of the work that I'm doing. Like, I'm focusing on the people that are reading what I write, or that I'm working with, or, you know, watching the courses, etc. But there's that ripple effect in their lives. And I've seen this happen, because some of them come back and tell me. So that's probably how I would think of it.
And can I just ask you, so I love that, like, because I was thinking the same thing, in your work, like you are doing it in your work every day. Like, you are helping the shift, because you're expanding it so much more than just yourself. You know what I mean? You are helping these people in the ways that you just mentioned, which is going to help the shift. How do you feel like, besides your coaching, besides your books, like you personally, how do you feel like just solely you are helping in the shift?
Well, this may sound like a strange answer, but whenever I sit to meditate and do my own practices, I feel that I'm contributing. Even though I'm alone in the room, I'm not talking with anybody, I'm not interacting with anybody, but it's like I'm creating and I'm pouring light in the invisible world around us. And that's got to count.
Yes. Yes, it definitely does. And like, you doing those things personally are going to allow you to show up as that higher version of yourself, and then be that example that people are going to look at you and see the light coming from you, see you just shining and vibrating in a different way, and wondering like, wow, like what is Giovanni doing that makes him like shine in this way and literally move in this way? And I just couldn't agree more. You taking that time and in those moments, absolutely. Even if you stayed in a room forever and didn't take those practices outside in your everyday, you're still helping the shift, because our thoughts are everything.
Right.
My man, Giovanni, love you, buddy. If you can, let people know, everyone listening right now, where they can find you online, your blog, where they can get your book, any way they can access you, if you can please let everybody know that.
Sure. You can go to higher mind.com. There you will see the three books that I have written, the blog, and also the app, where I have some guided meditations around these concepts.
Awesome. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes, so don't worry, it'll be there. Do you have anybody? I appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Justin.
So, of course, so much. It's so needed and important, right? It's like, again, my whole idea is helping shift the collective consciousness. And I'm so attracted to people who are like-minded and like-hearted. So I just have so much love for you. Mm. Reach out to Giovanni. If you have any questions about meditation, like this is it. Like literally, this is always the sign. At the end of every podcast, if you're ever inclined in the slightest way to reach out to this person, go deeper into what they're practicing or what they're offering, please use this as a sign to do that. If you're struggling with meditation, if you've done it for years, tap it to Giovanni. Reach out to him. Check out his new book. Yes, again, the book is Wise Confidence. Wise Confidence. Overcome Self-Doubt and Building Lasting Self-Esteem. Thank you so much, Giovanni, for being here, man. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Of course.
Everybody, we love you so much. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.